Thompson. Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight we chat kitchens and all things kitchens with Greg Arnold from Kitchen Mania. Plus we're chatting bond deductions with Tina Kennedy from Barfoot & Thompson and how to avoid them. Remember, you can download our podcasts from www.barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime at planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. I'm Stephen Dello and I'm delighted to have you tuned in for another Monday on our show. Now, each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. This is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page, and we will get the experts to answer you in upcoming episodes. You don't need to be a Barfoot & Thompson customer to get in touch. We are keen to help everyone out there, so send us your emails or check us out on Facebook as Property Matters Radio. Now, a big welcome to our two guests in the studio today, Greg from Kitchen Mania and Tina from Barfoot & Thompson. Welcome, team.
Hi.
Thanks. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for inviting me on.
Great to have you here. And Greg, I'm going to kick it off with you. So tell us, first of all, what's your role at Kitchen Mania?
My role is, I guess, a little bit of everything, like yes. You alluded to in the intro. It's general manager is the official position, but there's lots of things that happen from a day to day. So pretty much anything on the list is what I do.
Okay, now looking on your website, I could see it's very much a family-run business, is that right?
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the company. How long has it been running?
So we're coming up to 12 years now. It was my father, Carl, who started the company 11 and a half years ago. At the time, I was living in the UK. And he sent an SOS message to come back and help. He had three people in a really sizable factory and people knocking on the door wanting to buy kitchens. And so got a bit of an SOS and we decided to come back and settle back in New Zealand. And so from there I've sort of started on the truck delivering kitchens, bit of a memory of delivering one to Titirangi. Up about a kilometre driveway that was covered in moss, and then you get to the top. Get to the top, and there's about four flights of stairs to what looked like a bit of a tree hut. And that particular day, the guy who was helping me was away sick, so it's one for the memory bank for
and
sure.
And then you had to reverse up the drive the whole way up because there was never room to turn around.
That was the thing; it's sort of covered in moss, so unfortunately, I had to carry each cabinet myself up to the top. So I guess. You could say I started from the bottom in the company, and we've sort of slowly grown to be a pretty cool company now. So yeah, very, very proud of it.
That's awesome. What is it about kitchens that you love and your role? Like, you know, what makes you turn up at work every day?
Yeah, so I guess in all honesty, I wasn't born to be in the kitchen industry. It wasn't sort of one of my immediate goals, but I studied at university a business course and always had a passion for growing and developing and helping people along the way. And so for me, that side of it was the big driver. In that time, I've also sort of got a pretty fond love for kitchens and how they're designed and what materials are used and what hinges and runners are used. And my wife will always laugh when we're overseas or in a hotel. I always have a tendency to check the bar fridges and the bar setups to see what cabinetry they're using and what hardware they're using. But I think that's just my little bit of kitchen geekness coming out from time to time.
So since you love kitchens so much, are you good in the kitchen at home? And I should warn you, we have your wife on line two.
Oh, great.
Do you love cooking?
I love cooking on the barbecue.
I did wonder where that was going to go.
Yeah.
So look, with so many Kiwis not travelling at the moment, many are using their holiday funds, I guess, for renovations around the house, often to do it up and sell, some to just enjoy at home. What would be some of the first steps? So if I'm about to do up my kitchen, what do I need to think about if I was going to do some renovations?
Yeah, I guess the first thing is sort of what not to think about. And there's a bit of a perception that changing a kitchen is this huge ordeal that's going to, you know, be more stressful than, I don't know, getting married or whatever the case is. But one of the things is to, I guess, just relax and understand that usually what you find is in a space, there's only three or four ways a kitchen can go. And so it's a matter of talking to someone who has the experience, has designed a lot of kitchens, seen a lot of spaces. And with New Zealand house builds, there's actually quite a commonality in terms of sizes of kitchens and spaces of kitchens. So our guys are very good at spotting that, spotting the flow of the house, spotting options of how we could open spaces. There's a massive sort of, I guess, a tendency now for kitchens to be a very centralized place in the house, but that interact with outdoor and with lounges and things like that. So I would say the first thing is don't stress too much about it being a huge ordeal. Mm. Second thing is probably get involved and go and chat to a company that has some experience in designing kitchens and talk to them and get their thoughts, and then be guided a little bit by them as well. So one of the big issues or problems that I see quite commonly is a home show will come along and they'll have some brilliant sales on appliances. People go out and buy the biggest fridge, the biggest oven, right, the biggest everything, and they live in a house that might have a 2 meter by 2 meter space for, yeah, the kitchen. But what I'm saying is sometimes you can make compromises on things like the size of a fridge or the size of an oven to gain things like sizes of working spaces or an island or all those sort of things. So I'd say probably don't jump in straight away on those home show deals. Have a chat to someone first, get a bit of an understanding of the options in your kitchen, and then go forward with that process with a bit of knowledge in mind.
And a company like yours, I can come along and you've obviously got designers there that are going to then help,
yeah,
with that whole process.
100%. Yeah, we have three branches in Auckland. So we have one in Avondale on Joe Mack Place, one in Milford on Shakespeare Road, and one in Mount Wellington on Sylvia Park Road. And in each of those showrooms, we have four designers. And so people can either call up, they can go on the internet and have a look at what we do and put a request in to be spoken to. Or they can literally just walk in to any of those showrooms, have a chat to someone, and then we will book a time to come out, do a measure up, talk to you through the options of what's available with your space, give you some advice, and then either work with you further or you can choose to work with us when it suits.
Nice. You mentioned the home show. I guess I'm interested, what are some of the other common mistakes that people make when they're doing their own kitchen renovations?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that I see, and it's sort of a bit of a misconception, that if I just replace the doors on the kitchen, then I'm going to have this brilliant looking kitchen that's going to increase the value of my property and it's going to last another 20 years. If you can think of a kitchen, the structure of it like a skeleton in your body, if the skeleton's getting a bit old, like my back is, and the cabinets are getting a bit weak, it doesn't matter how shiny or how flashy those doors are on the front, they're not going to operate properly. The pressures of the door opening and closing are going to put pressure on the structure of the cabinet, and if that's not strong, you're just going to run into the same problems with doors not aligning and things colliding and those sort of things. So there's definitely options sometimes. If the kitchen's not too old and you just want to change the colour because you don't like a colour, then absolutely go down that route. But if the kitchen's starting to look a bit tired, it's starting to wilt a little bit, sometimes it's, well, all the time, it's a lot better option to do a full rip out and a replacement of the kitchen. And one of the things is that if you go and replace the fronts and maybe the bench top, you'll end up spending probably around 70 to 80% of what it'll cost to do a full renovation of a kitchen anyway by the time you're finished. And you'll be left with the exact same layout. So kitchens sort of 15, 20 years ago may not have incorporated the type of improvements that are in kitchens these days. They may not have thought about where dishwashers could go best, where rubbish bins could go best. So there's definite advantages in redoing a whole thing and getting a plan and a layout that's really going to make sense for you and your family.
Mm. I once rented a house many, many years ago, and the landlord informed me she was going to design this new kitchen. I was really excited because it was one of those titteringy houses up a long driveway that you were talking about, actually. And the kitchen was out of the 60s. Hundreds of cupboards, all slightly different sizes. She took all the cupboard doors away and about 6 weeks later came back and they were all shiny and new. Do you think she could work out which one went on where? It was amazing how it wasn't all the same.
Yeah, it's a tricky business.
Like a jigsaw. So if I was to sign up with you, I've come in, I've met your designer and I go, yeah, I love that plan. Guide me through the process. What do your team do? How involved do I have to be?
Yeah,
or do I
sit
back, relax, go to the neighbours and use the barbecue for a couple of days? How does it work?
So as part of the process, our design team have a 3D package that they can create, obviously, the plan and the design, but it can render images that are very, very lifelike. So we do things like take photos out of people's windows and then put that into the 3D so you can actually get a real good feel for what that kitchen space is going to do for the kitchen, for the home. And I think it just gives a bit of security to people to know that yes, this is the right decision because it's going to make such a difference. Once the customer has said, yes, that's brilliant, I love the plan, I love the price and I want to go ahead. Then we have a team that will take that plan and go through all the real technical details. So we have three qualified architects that work for us, all very, very clever guys and girls. They'll go through the plan and make that plan a reality for how the production's going to do that and then how the installation's going to do that. So what we say to people is don't go and rip out your old kitchen, leave it in there for as long as possible, literally a day or two before the new kitchen arrives. And then the installation process might take one day, 1 to 2 days for the team to install the kitchen, depending a little bit on what sort of bench top you go for. If you go for sort of your tried and true Formica bench top, that will go in the same day. If you go for sort of the more popular now, sort of stone, granite, right, and different other solid surface options, then there may be a bit of a delay between the cabinets going in, the cabinets being measured, and then the bench tops being fabricated and installed. So in that time, lots can happen. Flooring can be put in. Painting can continue. These sort of things can happen. So it's not just completely dead time. But what we try and do with our customers is have a really clean, clear key date summary so that they fully understand this is what's happening on this date, this is how long it's going to take, and they can sort of put a few plans in place to go and see the neighbours for a couple of nights to use their barbecue.
The barbecue at Greg's.
Yeah.
Are there common things that people are really into at the moment? Like I've been to a few houses recently that have been renovated and the islands become the new thing. Yeah. You know, is there certain things people are doing at the moment?
Yeah, 100%. And I sort of, I guess, alluded a little bit at the start, sort of 50, 60 years ago, the kitchen was a very small room with a door and maybe a window if you're lucky type thing, and it was tucked away. Now it's sort of progressed and they've opened up walls, they've opened up little service hatches, and now it's very, very much an open area that everyone can use, and not just for cooking, for homework, for gathering when there's parties, that sort of thing. It really sort of pulls the whole house together. One thing that we're seeing, we usually go to shows in Italy, which is a cool place to have shows, but we usually go every second year to the international kitchen shows there, but we obviously haven't been able to do that this year. But one thing we're seeing through sort of correspondence and sort of designer ideas is the kitchens are becoming, how do you say, tucked away or more secretive, that they're not as obvious as a kitchen. So you might have big doors covering all the bench tops and things, and that looks more like a piece of furniture rather than a kitchen that's a bench top and a sink all the time. So I don't know. You got to be a little bit careful and not jumping sort of 2 feet into some of these trends. But there's definitely a bit of noise around that coming out of Australia, and that's been driven from Europe as well. But
Kind of the Kiwi way. We go to a party or something, can we all stand in the kitchen with our glass of wine? I like what you said before, the kids are doing the homework on the bar. And I guess if you're in an apartment or something, it's one less piece of furniture if you've got a good bench that you can eat at 100%, and dine at.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember growing up before dishwashers, and it was, you had your family roster, and that was the one time you caught up with your brother and sister in the kitchen doing the dishes. Oh, great conversations.
Yeah, I remember the old tea towel whip going on between my brother and I.
Definitely. Absolutely. So what are some good tips on saving money during the process? If someone's wanting to do this on a bit of a budget, how can they save some money?
So we offer a full project management, we have a project management offer, which literally you could give us the keys, you could go away for a week or a week and a half, and you come back and your kitchen's done. That probably isn't the most cost-effective way of doing it. It's definitely the easiest and cleanest and less stress. But if you are keen, there are options around trying to negotiate best prices with plumbers and electricians and these sort of things to save some money. The key thing I'd say, however, is that kitchens are a very ordered process. So certain things have to happen before the next can happen. And so if you are going down that route of sort of trying to project manage it yourself and get plumbers and electricians in sort of on your own bat, then yes, you might save money at the front end. But if you book them in and they arrive and they can't do their job, they're going to charge you to come back. And that's if you can get them to come back as well. So even though it's probably not the most cost-effective way of doing it, I would definitely recommend some sort of project management, some sort of oversight from someone who is a professional and can advise you on the best decisions to get the best job done.
Yeah. I mean, you get what you pay for and you're paying for an expert to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely. At what point or, I guess, what items should I not worry about saving money, but in fact focus on the quality? Yeah. What's the long, you know, the hard wearing? Is it the bench top? Is it the appliances? What should I be doing?
There's probably a couple of things. For me, I see personally the most important thing are the things that are going to be moving all the time and the things that are going to be most susceptible to breaking down. And so for me, the drawer runners and the hinges on doors are the number one, and that's my geekness coming out again. But there's definite savings long term that can be made by putting in a little bit extra to get a higher quality product at the start. And so I'd definitely say do some research on different brands of drawer runners and hinges. We use a brand called Blum, who are a brilliant global company and based just down in Avondale. They supply a brilliant product and very reliable, so that works for us. The only other thing is the bench top, and a lot of people will, I guess if you're doing a kitchen up to sell it, to get that wow factor, sometimes that can be definitely something that if you put a little bit of extra money into that, that can really create a nice wow.
Cool. You've kind of segued nicely into my next question. You've sort of covered it, but I guess for those that are investors tuned into our show, what would be some of the more hard-wearing products that you'd recommend in a rental property? For example, is it the Formica bench over granite or something? Like, what's going to give an investor a long-term, I can leave it, it's going to survive, families, kids, et cetera, coming through the space?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one because it's definitely a price versus long-term sort of trade-off. And a solid surface bench top like a engineered stone or granite or Corian, which is a sort of an acrylic type brand, you might be paying three times more for that particular product versus a Formica bench top. And so the investors that we sell to, it's a little bit on what market you're trying to sort of target yourself at, but sort of I guess the mid to low end investors definitely still go towards the Formica because a very clean finish, very hard wearing. But there is, a bit of a caveat that with Formica, if a tenant puts a hot pan on it, you get that burn mark, as you probably may have seen in your kitchen life before. And that's very difficult to repair. It technically can't be repaired properly. It does require that piece of bench top to be removed. And so in removing a bench top, there's other things to think about. So there's the hob probably that needs to be disconnected. The sink needs to be disconnected. If you've got tiles or glass coming down onto the bench top, there's a risk that they might crack or be damaged in the process. And so it's a real trade-off, and I don't really know which way to go to say what's the best product. But Cost-effective-wise, hard-wearing-wise, Formica is a great product. It just needs to be used properly. And if you have tenants going into a kitchen that's new with a Formica top, then you should probably give them some advice around not using hot pans or giving them an alternative like a heat pad beside beside the stove. If you're looking for sort of that mid to higher end, then there's products around engineered stone, which is very hard-wearing. And the acrylic that I mentioned does have an advantage in that if it is damaged, you can actually cut out the piece that is damaged, put in a new piece and form it over, and you'll get a seamless finish. So there's pros and cons for each, but I'd say think about the market you're trying to target first, and then go with a suitable product that aligns with that.
And I imagine when it comes to appliances, the cheapest aren't always going to be the longest running. You know, getting a good trusted brand in there that's got a warranty and all of that for an investment property is going to be worth it in the long run as
well. Yeah, I would say as much as there's a brand, I would investigate a little bit behind the service that comes with the brand. So there are some quite well-known brands out there that don't have a very good backup. And so if something goes wrong, it turns into a massive issue. Mm. And I guess if you've got tenants that can't use an oven and they're getting more and more annoyed and you're trying to chase up a service agent and they're not, you know, giving you the time of day, then that's a pretty difficult situation to be in. So I would say not always go for the most expensive or the cheapest, but look at behind the scenes. Ask the guys the question, like, what happens when this breaks down? What are the common things that happen with this type of product? And just get a bit of information behind as to how easily you think it might be for them to fix it if something does go wrong.
Absolutely. Tina, I remember when I was a property manager and someone would ring up to inquire about a property, some of the common questions prospective tenants would ask would be, has it got a dishwasher, number one? Usually number two was, has it got a garage? And number three, how big is the kitchen? Is this still happening today?
Yes. Tenants are ask a lot of questions about whether the dishwasher stays or it doesn't. And especially if it's looking old, they query that. They also ask about a lot of the appliances in the kitchen, whether they stay. The garage, does it come with a remote? Because some don't. And, yes, that's a big question.
So I imagine, too, for both of you, you know, the importance of leaving those manuals behind, even for a rental property, for those appliances, is important as well.
Oh, incredibly. You often find them at the property. But when there's a problem, like the tenant will call you and say, there's a red, you know, sign on it. What does it mean? They've got no manual, so yes, it is important.
Are there common issues with rental properties when it comes to kitchens that you have to try and overcome?
If the kitchen is new and modern, the tenants just love it.
Right.
They say, oh, it's a great, you know, it's open plan. If it's got old cupboard doors or they're swollen at the bottom or they're dirty, it's very hard to overcome that with a tenant.
All right, we're going to take a short music break now and then we'll carry on chatting. We're going to talk a little bit with Tina around bond deductions and then Greg's going to finish off with some tips and tricks for us. Now, I tried to find a song that relates to kitchens, Greg, and that was a little bit harder than I thought, but Waitress the Musical has a great song all about baking in your kitchen, so it's a little bit far-fetched, but that's my link for today. Enjoy.
Jenna, what's your special pie today?
Deep shit blueberry bacon.
Deep shit?
Yeah, dish. Deep dish. Sorry, cow.
Oh, girl.
The day starts like the rest we've seen. Another carbon copy of an old routine.
Days keep coming.
One out, one in. They keep coming.
And make that coffee strong enough to chew.
I don't know what I wish I had. For thinking things like that, we got too much to do.
Too much to do. All these same things we're always opening up, letting a day in. Order a cup, we'll say hello. How you been? Looking around, seeing the same things every day brings. Hello. Thank you. Come again.
Opening up from the musical Waitress. That was the closest link I could get to kitchens. I think it did the trick. Bit of baking, a bit of pies. Going to go home and make a pie, Greg?
On my barbecue.
On your barbecue. Yeah, brilliant. So, Tina, your turn now. Let's chat a little bit about bonds and deductions and things. But first of all, what's your role at Barfoot & Thompson?
I run a relieving team of 8 relievers that go around to all of the branches so that the property managers or portfolio managers can have leave, but also so that our clients are looked after. So we look after the tenants and the landlords while they're away, while the property manager's away on leave.
So a full continuation of service.
So everyone gets the same.
How long have you been in property management?
I've been with Barfoot & Thompson for 28 years this year.
Wow, 28. That's awesome.
It's my only job in New Zealand.
No. Why do you love it so much? 28 years.
Oh, it's just different every day. You're meeting new people every day. There's something going on. Some's good and some's not. But it's overall a very good job.
Lots of variety. That's what everyone seems to say. Yep. You know, it's a nice mix. You're in, you're out. It's a good job to
Absolutely.
Have. So 2020, last year, I know we don't want to dwell on it, but it was a bit crazy for real estate. Mm. I guess being in a team of relievers, it was even busier. How did your team cope?
My team coped very well with it. It was really hard because we were going into unknown waters. We were trying to help the branches from home and being supportive to them. Plus, we're also getting calls from landlords and tenants and trying to help everyone. It was incredibly hard and stressful.
So hoping for a calmer 2021.
I am.
So look, we were interested in the bond deduction side because that's come up a few times on our messages and Facebook and email from people listening to the show. So from a tenant perspective, can you give us an insight into what the most common deductions are from bonds?
Yes. Rent, water and cleaning.
Right.
All the time, or lawns and rubbish removal. They're the most common things.
So when you say rent, at the end of a tenancy, is this people that have got into arrears or the moment they give notice they stop paying rent?
No, often tenants think they're a week ahead when they say we take a week's rent in advance.
Right.
They don't realise that they pay and they use.
Yeah.
So that's often the biggest thing. And there's a few days, so they might, give 3 weeks' notice, but are 2 days behind, and it's very hard for them to work out that out. So that'd be one of the things.
And in New Zealand, we can only take a maximum of 4 weeks rent as the bond. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct, yep.
And that's not held by you as a company?
No, we send it to the bond centre within 21 days of receipt of it. We cannot hold it longer than that. And the bond is always the property of the tenants until otherwise proven.
Cool. So how can a tenant reduce the risk of having a deduction from the bond? Say, for example, you mentioned the cleaning and things. I've come to the end of my tenancy. I want that bond back for the next property. How can I reduce the risk of losing some of it?
So when a tenant gives notice to us, we send them out a confirmation of how much rent they owe. And also there's a checklist of what cleaning we expect, what should be done. So they can follow that. A perfect example is my son has just left a tenancy and he said, how can we get our bond back? And it's not through Barfoot's. And I gave him that checklist and I said, do everything on this checklist and there shouldn't be a problem. And there wasn't.
Right.
And they were so happy with it. So it just gives tenants, they just tick it off as they go.
Okay.
And tenants only have to leave it reasonably clean, and this is what ensures that.
Right. What if I have a dispute? So I've exited the tenancy, the landlord's rung me up and said, I think you need to pay for this bit of cleaning or whatever. If I have a dispute over something, what are my rights as a tenant? Where can I go?
Well, tenants, so the best thing is communication. Go in and talk to your property manager. Have that conversation with them, and they will try and work with you. But if you can't come to an agreement, you can always dispute the bond at the tenancy tribunal.
Okay. Does an entire bond then get held while we wait for that dispute to be done?
We'll say it's $100, the cleaning costs, and we're disputing it. You can agree with the tenant to release the balance of the bond to them and then just go through that process.
Okay. How long does it usually take to process that bond refund?
At the, with the Bond Centre?
Yeah, you've signed me off. I'm waiting for my money.
I believe at this current point in time, it's about 20 days that the Bond Centre are holding. When I spoke to them last week for another tenant, because we were waiting to see, and he was getting all of the bond back, bar for, I think it was a water bill, and they said they were running 20 days behind.
That's a long time to wait.
Yeah, it is. It is a long time for a tenant to wait.
And because it's not always possible to just transfer that bond to the next property, is it?
No, and it's very hard to transfer because if we're transferring bond, if we give you the keys before you've left the other property, we're giving you a property without a bond. And so we prefer that you pay it and we refund the bond to you.
My understanding, work and income is someone you can approach if you're having issues, perhaps you've got the money to pay the rent, but actually having to come up with a bond while you're waiting for one, you can actually talk with Work and Income, who will help out with some bonds.
Absolutely will. They'll help you out and then you just pay it back to them when you get your bond back.
Cool. So what are your tips for tenants when they're exiting an agreement and exiting a property to ensure a smooth handover?
Go through that checklist that we had. And make sure that the rent is up to date and all of your water invoices are up to date on vacating when you return the keys. And if something's wrong, talk to the property manager.
Front it and be honest. Yeah.
And it's best to go through that process.
What if I've lost something like keys or that garage remote that you talked about, or the manual to the kitchen?
Okay. Hopefully, we have a copy of the manual. If you've lost a key, we could sometimes get one cut from our copy. But if the remote has been lost, you will be charged that from the bond.
I guess these days too, it's the air conditioning remotes as well, aren't they? I think,
yes.
You know, my family, it's like, where have they put it today? Yes. Under the pillow, down the side of the couch.
Yep.
But like the TV remote.
Yeah. But it's all about communication. Just talk to the people.
When you go into a property, you take entry photos, and I guess it depends company to company and private landlord versus a property manager.
Yep.
I imagine those entry photos are really important to refresh yourself at an exit.
Yeah.
Especially to discover that mark on the wall, did I do that or was it actually there at the start?
So when we go and do an entry, we do the entry inspection before a tenant moves in. It can take anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to do. And there will be approximately 500 to sometimes 1,000 photos, depending on the size. So we take photos of everything. And the actual inspection report that we use the entry is 8 pages long. And there's lots and lots of comments marked down. So when we do an exit, we come back and we compare them.
Right. So as a tenant, can I request a copy of that to have a look? Of the entry, so before I exit?
You would have been given it when you move in, but yes, you can definitely request it.
So if I'm with a private landlord, not a property manager, it's probably a good idea to take my own photos the day I move in, so they're time and date stamped as well?
Yep, absolutely. Make sure they are. Take a lot.
Cool. What is your hopes and goals for 2021 for you and your team?
Oh, for my...
Bit calmer?
Yes, bit calmer. And with the new legislation coming up, we need to get ourselves upskilled on that because that arrives on the 11th of February.
So a busy year ahead.
So we've got a very, very busy year.
That's cool. Greg, what's your hopes and ambitions for Kitchen Mania for 2021?
I should have spent some more time thinking about that over Christmas. But I guess from my side, like, as long as my team are happy, they're enjoying their job, they're having fun while they're doing it, I think that's all you can ask for, to be honest.
That's nice. Any other tips or tricks when it comes to kitchen renovations, and I guess anything else your company offers that perhaps I haven't covered?
Yeah, sure. So the guys, if you talk to our team about designing a new kitchen, they'll talk you through some of the trade-offs that can occur in a design. So I alluded to it a little bit with the buying all the appliances at the home show, but thinking about things like how much do you use your microwave? They used to be used, like, they were the number one thing. Like, I want my microwave front and centre of my kitchen, and now it's sort of...
it's the little benchtop oven now,
or the air fryer.
How many people have air fryers?
Lots of different options. Waste disposals used to be very, very popular. They're sort of going by the wayside a little bit, both of those, and not for everyone, but people sort of don't care where their microwave is as much now. But just thinking about all the questions that might pop up before the kitchen is made and in the house, so that you avoid that, oh my goodness, why did I do this type moment? And so thinking about the size of the sink, thinking about where the microwave is, do I need waste disposer, do I not? How high do I want the overhead cupboards? Where am I going to put the pots and pans where I'm cooking so they're nice and close? Having the bin on one side, the sink in the middle, and the dishwasher, so that you're not running around the kitchen when you're trying to sort of scrape the plate, rinse the plate, and put it in the dishwasher. All these little things that for me now seem very obvious, but for people, and what we've got to remember all the time is that people don't buy a kitchen every day, so they're not experts. They will have information on the internet and done a lot of research, but they don't actually do kitchens every day. And so I think that's where our team have some real, real skills and great abilities, and that's where they can advise and really help out customers.
Talk to the experts. I was at a function recently, and exactly that about the bin. They were preparing everything one side, but the built-in bin was right down the other end,
yeah.
And I was just watching things drip on the carpet or the lino back and forward and back and forward.
Yeah.
And it's
hard sometimes when it's on a piece of paper in front of you, right? Like, it's not a real kitchen, and so it's not until you're actually in it and using it that you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Why is it designed like this? So that's what we try, and that's the, I guess, the value that we try and add by having those that experience and those skills, and then obviously a brilliant team that manufactures everything, and then probably an even better team who comes in and installs it in your house. So,
nice. Yeah. Tina, I imagine waste disposal units are a nightmare in investment properties.
Absolutely. They're always getting blocked.
Yeah.
It's far better just to have the sink.
Yeah. Do you get many landlords that leave full appliances? You know, you used to get quite a lot, you know, whiteware included into rents. Does that still happen, or is that more apartments? And
no, you do get some that'll leave full appliances because the fridge space only sits for a certain size fridge. So mostly it's like the fridge, the dishwasher and the stove.
Right. Yep. And if it's left in there, then the landlord needs
to
be maintaining it.
The landlord has to maintain it. And that's what we say to landlords when, say, we have to replace the dishwasher. Buy one that we can get parts for, not one that's the cheapest one or the most expensive, so we can get parts, because it's nothing worse.
And if you're renting with a dishwasher, you want that dishwasher
working.
They do,
definitely.
Absolutely.
And it's in the property.
Yeah, they're entitled to it.
Absolutely.
Greg, how can people get in touch with you and your team at Kitchen Mania?
Yeah, so some of you might have heard the sometimes annoying jingle on the radio.
I was going to ask Tina to sing it, but she might kick me under the table.
Yeah, fair enough. But we have a website, www.kitchenmania.co.nz, and you can sort of go through, see how we do things, and if that works for you and you feel comfortable working with us, then there's a contact me page and you can sort of fill out an appointment form or call us anytime. 588-4045. Sounds a bit old school, but it still works.
Yeah. And we'll pop it up on our social media pages as well.
And or just come in and have a look around. Grab a coffee at a showroom, look around, see if what we do is what you're looking for, and we'd be more than keen to help anybody.
Fantastic. And Tina, they can check out everything at barfoot.co.nz and find their local branch for a local property manager.
Yes.
Absolutely. Cool. Thank you guys for being such great guests on a Monday evening. Enjoy the next couple of weekends. You can have Mondays off. And for us, we'll be taking a break over the next 2 weeks with our holiday weekends, Auckland Anniversary and Waitangi. We'll join you again in the middle of February in time for some Valentine's Day music. Make sure you download our podcast at barfoot.co.nz/property matters. Email us anytime at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. We'd love to answer your questions and get guests on that interest you. Thanks, Greg and Tina. Have a great rest of the day. Good luck cooking when you get home, and have a wonderful week.